Right now, it is time to bring in Brian Ross. It is time for Real News with Brian Ross. Brian joins us on a Thursday morning. And the situation in the Ukraine keeps getting curiouser and curiouser and scarier, Brian.
Well, especially as we see Putin say talks are at a dead end. He sees that he's on his way to victory, no doubt, he says about it. And fascinating developments there. I was intrigued to see this morning that the sort of the flagship carrier for the Russian fleet in the Black Sea has been sunk by a Ukrainian missile. The second one they've sunk. It's amazing the will and the ability of the Ukrainians to go against the once so highly touted Russian army and navy.
And here's the funny thing about this, even though it's not funny, because obviously people died, soldiers died on the ship that was hit. Russia is claiming, of course, it was just a fire that broke out on the ship. But,
right.
This...
Without saying what started the fire.
That's exactly right. But this, when you look at something like this, the cruise missile that they sent was built when they had Russian technology.
Yeah, exactly right. They're turning it against them.
And some people were saying, well, the bomb that was outside of the train station that was hit, folks, it looked like a Russian bomb because it was a Russian bomb. Russia supply. People forget that this was part of Russia, and all this stuff is part of the arsenal. It takes me back to the war between when England lost two ships reclaiming what the Falkland Islands.
Falkland Islands, exactly right. The mighty can fall, and we're still watching to see now what will be next in terms of the Russian advance on the eastern part of Ukraine. The Austrian chancellor talked to Putin and came away feeling it's going to get worse, it's not going to get better. It's hard to know how this ends, but, I see each day the U.S. is getting deeper and deeper in terms of resupply, and now they're thinking of sending a significant U.S. figure to go to Kyiv and be there. After Boris Johnson's photo op over the weekend, you saw that.
Well, the interesting thing is that the U.S. and EU now have just added another $1.3 billion in military aid that's going to Ukraine, and they say that the bulk of that will start arriving. This was yesterday, within 4 days. And they are giving them some incredible equipment, long-range air defense systems, long-range radar for the air, which almost is like a no-fly zone because the Russians haven't had to deal with that before. When you look at this, the Russians have to be, the Russian military, they never thought they would lose first of all, their flagship was just retrofitted in the late 1990s, close to 2000, and the carrier ship. This has to be a huge, huge blow to the Russian military, plus all the men and all the equipment they've lost so far.
Yeah, indeed, but what we're seeing is we're closer and closer to a full-on proxy war, U.S. versus Russia, testing the equipment and the strategies of both sides. It's perilous, though. I have to admit that. We have to remember this is a country that has more nuclear missiles and weapons than anybody else in the world.
When the Falkland War ended, the United States military made a very wise decision. The United States and Britain and other countries were building their ships, making them lighter and faster with aluminum inner structure. Well, that didn't happen anymore because the missiles that brought down the British ships were Exocet missiles, which just simply pierced. And once the fire started in the aluminum, they couldn't put it out. Every new ship that has been made in the United States has been like the old days, where Exocet missiles bounce off. Now, cruise missiles won't, but there's no aluminum infrastructure in these new battleships. So when fires break out, they can keep fires away from ammunition that's stored in it. It really is, when you take a look at military history and the way they build things, it really is amazing the way the United States, we spend probably far too much on the military, but the way we adapt and change.
Admiral Miles, I'm very impressed with your knowledge of naval techniques and history.
Well, you got to remember, we come from an area here where the wood for old Ironsides and the cannonballs for old Ironsides came from here.
Yeah.
And Old Ironsides, of course, is an undefeated vessel in naval warfare.
Well, anyway, we can see this is not going to end soon.
No, and, it's scary. And it's,
we don't know how it's going to end or when, but we know it's not going to be soon.
No, and it's scary because you're right. It involves two of the top world's nuclear powers, and you've got a president of Russia who is hell-bent on recapturing all of what the USSR was and won't accept anything less. And now you've got Finland pushed closer to joining NATO and other countries. It puts him more and more in a box because this is exactly what he wanted to stop, with the threat of the Russian bear just marching across and taking everything back.
Thomas Friedman, the New York Times this morning, has an interesting column with a great military strategist saying that the advice to Putin was, you're in a hole, stop digging, you're not going to get out, make peace. But there's no indication that Putin's prepared to do that at this point. And in his head, apparently, May 9th is a significant day. It's a military day in Russia. He seeks some sort of victory by May 9th, apparently.
All right. My grandmother always had to have that saying, when you start to lie, keep digging because the hole's getting deeper. That's what she used to say. Let's go to what happened in the New York City subway system yesterday. New York has 10,000 cameras. It just happens. But here's once again the problem. All these cameras that all these cities have are all based on internet protocol. And if something's wrong with the internet, the cameras won't deliver the pictures. And that's exactly right. What happened. And then the man actually turned himself in yesterday.
Yeah, quite an amazing story. But it was, and I happened to be in New York on that day. They say it's not an act of terror, but I'll tell you this. It was terrifying because it brought back all the scares and the worries we had when Al-Qaeda was thought to be targeting the U.S. and particularly the New York City subway system. Thank goodness the man who had this gun had a gun that jammed. Otherwise, the injuries would have been much greater. And at this point, there have been no deaths that we know of.
But here's the particular thing about New York. How does a guy wearing a gas mask get on the subway? You got to love, it's terrible, but you got to love New York.
You see some pretty strange people on the subway. You never know.
It's like Los Angeles. You just got to love these cities because they live in their own vacuum, their own world.
Yeah.
One more thing I have to talk about, and I'm just amazed. Elon Musk, I have the most respect for the guy. I think he does amazing, amazing things. I think he's an extremely bright. He just put an offer in for Twitter, cash, $43.4 billion cash.
He wants to buy the whole thing.
Yeah, cash.
He bought 9 or 10%, now he's going to go for the whole thing in cash, as you say. This is one of the, if not the wealthiest man in the world. He's going to own Twitter. To what end, who knows, but fascinating that he wants to do that. It is one of the great public speaking places in this, for lack of a better word. It's our new sort of a speaker's box in a way. It's privately owned. You can do anything you want with it, but it's fascinating that he wants to take control of it. He's already pushed for some changes in how Twitter operates, and who knows what he'll do next.
And I'll just get back to the Ukraine for a second, and it goes back to how the Republicans, when Barack Obama, President Obama, put a red line in the sand with Libya and then back down, Joe Biden has said that the United States' involvement in this would change if chemical weapons were used. That's how much this has ratcheted up, because if they do use those bombs, which they used in Syria, that's chemical weapons, and I can't see the United States backing down from President Biden's statement.
But the question that is raised is like, what does that mean? More sanctions? An attack on Moscow? What is it? What are the levers the U.S. has yet to pull to go after Russia, other than going to war with Russia?
Yeah, that's what I mean. There's so few options left. There really are. I'll tell you what, this takes me back to the Cuban Missile Crisis. It really does, when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. My uncle was on one of those ships waiting to go into Cuba when everything went finally. Nikita Khrushchev backed down. It just reminds me of that in a much more dangerous way, though.
I think you're absolutely right about that. And, you know, we watch at distance. We admire the bravery and the sort of the ability of the Ukrainian men and women. Doing a story this week on our law and crime program that, you know, as many as 20% of the fighting forces in Ukraine are women, grandmothers signing up for military training.
It's an amazing story that we're following, a sad story, and as the president of the Ukraine said at the beginning of this war, this is going to change the European Union, NATO, and the rest of the world, what Vladimir Putin has started, for eternity. Basically, things will never, ever, ever be as they were, and Russia will never be, for a long time, looked at as, again, as any country that can be trusted.
Absolutely right. There is it's a major change in history, and we'll always talk about it. We thought we'd seen it all. We haven't yet.
Brian, always great to speak to you. We'll speak to you next week.
You bet, Marshall.
Take care. Brian Ross and Real News. Of course, you can find Brian and Real News on our website, robinhoodradio.com. Click on Real News with Brian Ross.